Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If he was going to get a $10 million a year deal, of course he's going to take it. But I just don't see him getting significant money upgrades.
$5 million a year, maybe. 4 years.
Let me ask you this. And this is there's a Venn diagram. Is $5 million and playing on an awful team significantly better an experience than $2.5-3.5 million with the Warriors and playing on a championship team and maybe playing 12 years in the NBA as opposed to 7 or 8 like a Brandon Bass?
It's a great point. And you look at the Warriors salary cap situation, will they have that available for him? But I'm with you. If it is $3-4 million with the Warriors and I know I'm going to be contending for championships, yes, I'll take that deal to stick with Golden State, knowing my role, knowing how fun it is to play here in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. But if it's, you know, $7 million and you're like, all right, I'm going to play on an up-and-coming team that's kind of rebuilding. And then there's also that chance of a team that takes on a Kevon Looney that say, you know what, we're not going anywhere. We're going to shed some cap. We're going to trade him.
Or
and
we're going
to get traded to a contender or buy you out.
Do what the Cleveland Cavaliers did, which is try to screw over the Warriors because they're bitter and signed Patrick McCaw.
Well, don't even get me started.
No, let's call it what it is. That's what they did.
Don't get me started on McCall right now.
Oh, well,
don't get me started.
Disproportionate self-esteem value. It's unreal.
I don't get it. You want minutes, so then you go to Toronto and you're getting like 5 minutes a game. Anyway, favorite Super Bowl dish. I want to throw this out to our audience here. We thank everybody for listening today. I see your text coming in on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Before I get your Super Bowl dish, I actually got to bring this up to you. So I was talking to Matt Nahegan, our program director, about this Friday night. On the Damon Bruce Show Friday, Mike Silver from NFL.com joined the show. And Damon asked him a question. Would you rather be a quarterback who had a 5-4 record in the Super Bowl or a guy who was 4-0 in a Super Bowl? What would you rather have? Would you have rather? And Brady's not 5-4, obviously. He could be 6-3 after today. But if you're 5-4/6-3 or 4-0 in the Super Bowl, what would you take? Would you take Joe Montana's resume in the Super Bowl or would you take Tom Brady's resume?
Are you kidding?
Well,
I mean, this is obvious.
It's obvious for you because I know how much you love Tom Brady.
Well, I just love winning. I like winning playoff games and getting there. Since when? Only in sports. Only when meathead conversations in sports is the journey discredited. Oh, losing in the finals is this horrible thing. Losing in the Super Bowl. Yes, 4-0 is a fantastic Super Bowl record. It's unreal. Take a step back. 9 trips to the Super Bowl is way more remarkable. Okay, getting there time and time and time and time again. Literally, 1 out of every 2 NFL seasons, you're in the Super Bowl. That's how Tom Brady's going to be looked at in his career when it's all said and done. And whether he wins today or not, is that really going to put a blemish on his status as the all-time greatest quarterback? No, it's not. He has accomplished so many amazing things that Joe will never be able to. And going back to the nutrition, as far as like LeBron James keeping his body, whether he takes those Miami HGH trips allegedly or not, Tom Brady deserves this, and this is something no one ever brings up. Joe partied so hard away from the game.
Hard.
Huey Lewis and him used to party hard. No one brings this up. Yet amongst his peers, in an era where everyone is weight training and nutrition is at its most sophisticated, Tom Brady is the gold standard for how to treat your body. Drew Brees, who treats his body phenomenally, is not in Tom Brady's category. Peyton Manning, not in Tom Brady's category. Big Ben Roethlisberger, nowhere near Tom Brady's category. So for me, it's all of the stuff he does to preserve his longevity, which puts him into the Jerry Rice category, where not only is he the GOAT when the most clutch spots in the game, but he's got all the numbers and the longevity and the excellence sustained over a long period. Dude, he's the GOAT. It's unquestionable.
Surprisingly, I agree with you. Surprisingly, I agree with you. And you bring up the nutrition and the TB12 and all that stuff. But I even look at the supporting cast. How many different wide receivers has Tom Brady had?
Come on.
David Givens, Troy Brown, Randy Moss, Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, Chris Hogan, Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez, David Patton. I mean, the list goes on. Different running backs.
Antoine Smith,
Corey Dillon, Kevin Falk, James White. What's our guy in Tennessee? Deion Lewis.
LeGarrette Blount.
Rex Burkhead. LeGarrette Blount. Danny Amendola. He's had such
Danny Whitehead.
A different supporting cast in the salary cap era.
Oh, yeah.
In the salary cap era where he's given back millions of dollars, restructured his deal over and over with the Patriots. Look, they're always in it. And you could say the AFC East sucks and they always get a bye week, but they're always there. They're always there just because of number 12, Tom Brady. And what I saw at Arrowhead Stadium, and it was kind of ironic that Joe Montana was there, which, by the way, the check must have been nice from the Kansas City Chiefs.
Don't start me on
that. You can't get Joe Montana to do anything for free. So Kansas City must have chipped him out to be out there in the cold. But to do it in front of Joe Montana, the game-winning drive, the drive to send it to overtime, the opening drive where it's just it's football at its finest. 7-minute drives to open the game against the Chargers. 8-minute drive to open the game against the Kansas City Chiefs.
How about the third down conversions? Come on, man.
Money downs, Julian Edelman. Checking into the right play. Recognizing the defense. Tom Brady is a freaking machine. And does he have the best throwing arm of all time? Absolutely not. Dan Marino, John Elway, Joe Namath. Does he have the most mobility as a quarterback?
No.
Absolutely not. But in terms of pocket presence, football IQ, and the will to win, give me number 12. Over anybody in NFL history.
How about the poise and the calmness during both those drives? We go back and, Joe Cool.
Was there any doubt he was going to tie that game up or take the lead?
No, I was standing watching every throw. The alley-oop to Gronk down near the goal line was an unreal throw.
Dime.
His anticipation to know where the rush is, to step up and create some semblance of a pocket so that he can deliver the ball down the field, it's unparalleled. If I had a drive for my life, with, replacement squad players around me, give me Tom Brady all day, every day. The way he stands at the line, points out who the Mike linebackers are, understands where the blitz is going to come, knows exactly who he wants to throw to on any given play.
He's
if the safety moves over two steps, he's unreal.
He's the GOAT. I'll take him over Joe Montana. Any day of the week, and I love Joe, and Niner fans will get on me. They'll crucify me for saying that. But give me number 12 in New England any day of the week and twice on Sunday. We're going to take your calls. I see a couple calls on hold here. We'll take you on the other side here. Araj Markazi at 12. Excuse me. I'm so used to the afternoon delight time. I almost said 12:30, 1:30. 10:30 here on 95.7 The Game. Araj Markazi from the LA Times. He's down in Atlanta covering the Super Bowl. We'll take your calls. Who would you rather have? Tom Brady, Joe Montana, what record? 5-4, 6-3, or would you rather be 4-0 in Super Bowls? We'll take your phone calls on the other side right here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
.95.7 The Game is the only Bay Area radio station with live coverage of the big game today, that is. I was going to say this Sunday. Catch all the action starting at 1 p.m., followed by kickoff at 3:30. Championship coverage on .95.7 The Game is brought to you by the Dolan Law Firm. The best lawyers, we hope, you'll never need. Joe Shasky, the Butcher Boy, Bonte Hill, taking you up until 1 o'clock, getting you ready for Super Bowl number 53. And we're just having a conversation, Butcher, about who would you rather have as your quarterback. What is more impressive to you? Would you take the 5-3 record that Tom Brady currently has in Super Bowl play, or Joe Montana's 4-0? We're going to get people here, 888-957-9570. They want to chime in on the conversation, and we both agreed that we'd rather have Tom Brady's record in the Super Bowl as opposed to Joe Montana's, which is crazy because Joe Montana was undefeated in Super Bowl play.
Yeah, but there's context to everything. Just look at where Joe, in every playoff series that he lost in 83, he lost in the NFC Championship game.
That was a phantom loss.
He lost.
Terrible pass interference call against the Washington Redskins. I'm still pissed about that.
I hear you. Lost in the first round twice, okay? to Minnesota, and I forget who
after
they lost
a bye
in
86. Week. Remember, Bill Walsh almost got fired, 87.
Exactly. And then
got
smoked
in New York by the Giants, 49-3.
And also lost in the 1990 NFC Championship game, which he got knocked out of. But, you know, look, since when in any profession do we knock being in second place? Do we knock the journey? If you were in sales and you said, hey, you are the all-time winner in sales and you're also in second place because you've got there that many times, that's Tom Brady. Not only has he been to 9 Super Bowls, won 5 of them, yeah, he's lost 3 of them thus far. Whether he wins or loses, just getting there that many times is unequivocally the most impressive thing you could possibly do as a quarterback is to lead your team to the Super Bowl the farthest possible point.
Does Tom Brady need that blowout victory in the Super Bowl to get to validate himself as a coach?
Oh, I'm so sick of hearing this argument.
Because a lot of people bring that up. We know Joe Montana. The
Niners, victory.
The Niners blew out the Miami Dolphins 38-16. They blew out the Denver Broncos 55-10. They rolled. Does he need that big-time victory? Because all these victories, basically been by a field goal or more, or the Atlanta Falcons game when they won in overtime 34-28. But all the other victories, Adam Vinatieri game-winning field goal. Adam Vinatieri game-winning field goal.
What was the last blowout in Super Bowl history? It was Seattle versus Denver, right?
Yep.
There's not many blowouts anymore. It's just not how the league works. There's sophisticated enough defenses now. There's more salary cap situations, which create a level playing field. There's so many different things. I just look at the NFL as a whole. There's not a lot of blowouts. That's not how the game works. Like, they're going to keep it close. That's how the Super Bowl is systematically set up, right? And I just, this thing like, oh, we blew our teams out. The San Diego Chargers were garbage and had no business being in the Super Bowl against Steve Young in the Super Bowl. Does that take away from Steve Young's greatness?
Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not.
But I'm just saying, like, let's stop pretending like, oh my God, margin of victory matters. This isn't college football where there's an AP ranking. It's about, at the end of the day, did you win or not? And if you didn't, how far did you drag your team? How far did you carry your squad? Jack Nicklaus, the greatest golfer of all time. Why? Not just the 18 majors, the 19 runner-ups.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
Magic Johnson, 5 finals wins,
right.
4 losses.
Yep.
Jerry West, the logo of the NBA.
1 finals win.
And 9 appearances, right? So I hear everyone, oh, you got to win. Since when do we discredit the journey? I don't get that. In your profession, if you got all the way to second place, you'd be celebrating that. You'd be celebrating. But if you bowed out in the first round of anything, you would not be celebrating that. Celebrate the accomplishments and the journey of getting there.
Let's go out to the phone lines, Butcher Boy. 888-957-9570. Coach P in Fremont wants to chime in on the Super Bowl discussion. Coach P, how you doing, man? Welcome to 95.7 The Game on the Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, man, I'm good. You know what I mean? Just got stuff marinating, getting ready to cook it off and all that. You know what I mean?
But what you got on the grill right now, Coach P?
Oh, well, it's all marinating right now. I got tri-tip, you know, and I also got some carne asada. I got some chicken, you know.
Hey, go slow on the tri-tip, okay, Coach P? Remember, don't flip it a million times. Keep it on there. Let it sit, all right? Let it sit. Yeah.
Let it settle. You let it relax. You got to let that thing breathe a little bit. You can't. It's not like the asada where you keep flipping and flipping.
Yes.
You got to let that chill out and grill it real good. Anyways, real quick, I don't want to get you guys hungry. man, the afternoon delight guy, it's an honor. Fonte and Joe, man, hey, I hope the QL season went well, man. I hope that went well. But real quick, on the Super Bowl. First of all, I'm like you guys. I take Tom Brady's overall record over Joe. Now, if it was both 4 only and Tom was 3-1 and Joe was 4-0, of course. But this guy's gone to 9 Super Bowls. He's 41, looking like he's 28. I mean, he keeps balling 3 in a row. Every time he's doubted, he keeps coming back. I want to say it was the second round where he's up by like 30 points, and he's trying to score before the half, and he's yelling at his teammates to get him to hustle more. I mean, this guy just he pushes his teammates, and that's good. If you want to win, that's what you need right there. So I take Tom Brady's overall Super Bowl record over Joe's. And, you know, I like Joe. Joe was just a cool, you know what I mean? But it was a different game back then.
Absolutely, it was totally different. And Coach Pete,
guys are more athletic and everything, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And real quick on the game, the Rams cannot make any mistakes if they want to pull this off. It's going to be very hard because you got to remember, the Patriots, especially Tom, they're remembering last year. Because, honestly, I know a lot of people say the Eagles did this, they outcoached them, all that. I really think the Patriots took the Eagles with their backup quarterback turn it on, it was too late.
Okay.
This Sunday, they're going to have it full throttle.
Good call, Coach P. I love it. One thing I'd like to say that I am so sick of this dilution. If that and Vinatieri doesn't kick a field goal, they don't win. If Ronnie Lott and the 49er defense doesn't stop the Cincinnati Bengals at the goal line on a goal line stand, the most infamous one, Joe doesn't win his first one.
And they were up big in that game, too, 20-0, and almost blew that Super Bowl.
It's just these what-ifs. Oh, this Pandora's box, this butterfly effect of what-ifs. It did happen. I've never watched a Tom Brady.
That's crazy, though, because Adam Vinatieri, it just shows how close the Patriots were losing those. We're close to losing those Super Bowls. The greatest show on turf shouldn't have been a close game. The Patriots should have blew that
open. They were down 17-0.
Right, exactly. 17-3, and Tom Brady should have hit some throws, but he was a second-year quarterback. You can't expect him to light it up there in that environment in his second season, but they win the game. They controlled the Eagles Super Bowl. I never felt like the Eagles were going to win that game.
Early on, I did with T.O. with the first five or six plays of the game.
I was just like, the Patriots aren't losing this. The Panthers game was very unexpectedly close.
Yeah.
But Tom Brady made money throws. But on the flip side is those two losses to the New York Giants. He was a couple ridiculous Eli Manning throws away from winning those Super Bowls. We know about the 2007 season when they were 18-0, the helmet catch. I mean, come on. Tom Brady was that close to winning a Super Bowl. So it goes both ways here. So I don't buy the notion either. I threw that out there to you, Butcher Boy, because you see a lot of that stuff. Oh, well, they don't have a blowout victory. They don't have this. They don't have that. And Joe Montana had the blowout. Well, the Niners were stacked. Joe Montana, if you had Steve Young in that Super Bowl against the Denver Broncos, the score is maybe 42-10. Instead of 55-10.
Absolutely. And Montana never really had to go up against a team as complete as the 90s Dallas Cowboys. I mean, if he has to go up against them, what does he do? Again, there's a Pandora's box of what ifs and this, that, and the other. Here's one I throw out to the, because there's so many Raider haters when it comes to the Patriots, and I get it. But this, Brady's not that great because he lost a Super Bowl. You guys immortalized Rich Gannon for getting to the Super Bowl, and he got destroyed.
How many interceptions did he throw in that one? Five?
But does that really, honestly, if you take a step back, does that really take away from how great Rich Gannon was?
He had an unbelievable year.
No, he was awesome. He was really good. Losing in the Super Bowl is not this, blemish on your mark. I don't get where people are coming from.
Let's go back out to the phone lines here. Mike in Fremont, he wants to join 95.7 The Game because I am being ridiculous. Mike, welcome to 95.7 The Game here on Super Bowl Sunday. What's on your mind, man?
Good morning, gentlemen. It's a nice rainy day. I wish it was raining over in Atlanta to make the game more interesting. But anyway,
the dough, Mike.
I'm not trying to say you're too ridiculous or anything, but let's put it in perspective is what I'm saying. I mean, I like Brady. I'm pulling for Brady in this game. Sometimes it's hard to pull for him because there's too many people jumping on his you-know-what. It's annoying. But overall, if you see what Brady did, not only in the NFL, but how he willed his way through Michigan to get to where he is, and his Cinderella story. But for you guys to disrespect the original comeback kid, the one thing I got to say about Brady is, I want to see him go head-to-head. I know it's football, right? They'll never share the same field twice. But I want to see him beat a Hall of Fame Dan Marino in the Super Bowl.
I want to see him beat a Hall of Fame. He crushed Peyton Manning, the guy who's the greatest quarterback of this generation. Every single time they faced in the playoffs, Brady had his number. What more do you want when you compare him amongst the other greats in the game? Drew Brees looks like a midget standing next to Tom Brady. And I love Drew Brees. Come on. Compare him amongst the other greats within this generation. What are you people talking about? He's the greatest of all time, and he stands on a mountain so much higher looking down on everyone. It's uncomparable to any other quarterback.
Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers, anybody in the AFC East, they cannot outduel Tom Brady. Tom Brady gets it done when it matters. Andrew Luck, you want to throw him in that category? I saw some crazy stat where he's playing first-year quarterbacks in the playoffs or something like that. He's undefeated. He's undefeated against Philip Rivers.
Of course he is.
He's undefeated against guys. When he plays against them on their first start in the playoffs, he's undefeated. Patrick Mahomes in that category. Andrew Luck's in that category. I mean, I get it. I don't know, man.
Bonte, when we talk about Peyton Manning, does anyone go, we should dilute that Super Bowl because Dominic Rhodes won MVP in the rain. You know, we should really take away some of the credit that Peyton Manning gets on his one and only Super Bowl as a Colt. you know, we should diminish it because the defense and Bob Sanders helped win that game. No, it's ridiculous. These arguments are so stupid. Recognize greatness. Appreciate it. I'm not saying you got to love the guy, but realize this guy's at the top of his craft. And this thing, like, you can't slurp him. Who in the NFL can you slurp if you can't slurp the greatest quarterback who ever lived?
Well, actually, I don't think everybody slurps Tom Brady. I saw more people slurp Patrick Mahomes this season than any quarterback on the planet.
He was awesome, though.
So Brady has a lot of haters. Let's squeeze in one more phone call before we bring in Araj Markazi. Brian in Palo Alto, he doesn't value second place at all. Brian, what's going on, man? Welcome to 95.7 The Game.
First off, question. Hey, Butcher Boy, how old are you?
I'm 36.
Okay, so you pretty much never really, I mean, how much do you really remember about Montana and the glory years of the Niners?
I've got every single one of them VHS'd and YouTubed, and I watched everything from 88 on. Let's see it, Brian. Here we go.
You have zero credibility if you're going to say that Joe never faced a team the caliber of the Cowboys. I mean, he had the Parcells, Giants, Ditka's Bears, Gibbs'
the Eagles,
Landry's 49ers. That is the Landry's Cowboys. I mean, that's the most ridiculous comment. By the way, that's four teams that Joe had to battle through the 80s. Brady has never had to battle a team even remotely at the caliber of any of those teams.
The Indianapolis Colts.
Because Steelers have two Super Bowls in the Brady era.
Every year, Tom Brady has basically a free pass to a first-round bye. Every year, the NFC East has been incompetent.
Hey, Brian, about the NFC West? Joe Montana basically had a bye week. Every single year, the NFC West, the 49ers dominated.
The Eagles during the 80s got no Super Bowls. The Bears won Super Bowl. The Giants in the 80s had their two Super Bowls, okay? Guess who else has two Super Bowls during the Brady run? The Pittsburgh Steelers. And what has Brady done next to them? Dwarf them. He's absolutely dwarfed them amongst the exact same era. And the Cowboys argument. Yes, Montana and Walsh ended the Cowboys dynasty, but it was on the decline already.
Right.
Okay? It wasn't like he went through Roger Staubach. He went through Danny White. And history doesn't remember Danny White the same way we remember Roger Staubach, even though Danny White was a heck of a player in his own right.
We're going to continue this conversation about Joe Montana and Tom Brady because a lot of people are fired up about that. Phone lines are packed right now, 888-957-9570. But first, let's go down to Atlanta and talk to our good friend Araj Markazi, now with the LA Times, formerly did great work with ESPN. And Araj, you are having the time of your life down there in Atlanta. First of all, before we get into the Super Bowl and what's going on in LA and whether the fan base has latched on to the Rams in LA, and also I know you're chimed in with the LA Lakers, your right arm, buddy. You got to work on that throwing motion, man. I saw you at the NFL Experience. Got to work on that right arm, buddy.
I am terrible. That was the most embarrassing video, but I said, you know what? I put myself out there, so, you know, there's nothing I could do about it. But, man, I mean, what's worse than the arm? I thought I could kick a little bit. Clearly, I can't. But, yeah, go to the Los Angeles Times if you want to see me humiliate myself on video.
I will say your dance moves was on point. I'll give you that one, man. Your dance moves were very, very fun. Down in Atlanta here, give us the vibe of Super Bowl 53. Are there a lot of Rams fans out there? Are the Patriots fans taking over Atlanta? Just give us the vibe of Super Bowl week down in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, no, man. There's a lot of Patriots fans here. I mean, I don't know whether it's 70 to 30, but you know, there are some Rams fans here, but it's way more Patriots fans. So it'll be interesting to see what the stadium is like. I know there's a lot of fans here who are not necessarily going to the game, but I'm at a tailgate right now, and there's basically 70 to 30. A lot of Patriots fans are here.
How has L.A. embraced the Rams? You wrote an article a while back about just the dynamic, the Dodgers, the Lakers, USC, and now you have the Chargers and the Rams there. I'm just curious, how has this Super Bowl run really, you know, has it captivated L.A., or is it kind of, blah, they got to win it, and then we'll all hop on board?
You know, I think this run and even the season that they had last year has helped, but it's a really kind of a problem when you don't have a team for 21 years, which is an entire generation of fans. So there's a lot of young fans. You know, if you're younger than 30 or even, you know, maybe even a lot younger than 35, you know, you don't remember when the Rams were here before. And so you've gone your entire life, you know, picking some other team. So there's a lot of kids from Los Angeles who grew up as Packers, Steelers, Bears, you name it, and they didn't become fans of the Rams. So it's going to take time to get that hardcore fan base where for example, you're going to drop $1,000 for a ticket to Atlanta and $2,000 for a ticket to the game and whatever. I mean, you know, when if you're a hardcore fan, you make that kind of commitment. But when you're not, it's going to take time. I will say this. If they find a way to win Sunday, you know, and they kind of have that kind of offseason where they're known as the Super Bowl champion Los Angeles Rams, I think that will go a long way in creating a new fan base. Because, again, these fans are still trying to become fans. It's going to take some time, though.
Right. Araz Markazi from the L.A. Times right here on 95.7 The Game. And I actually feel bad for the Chargers because I don't know how they're going to get a footing in L.A. when you have the Lakers, USC football, the Dodgers who are playing well, and then obviously back-to-back World Series appearances. Then you got the L.A. Kings who have got some Stanley Cups under their belt. Where are the Rams right now in that pecking order? You talked about, you know, the hardcore fans. They don't have it quite yet. Is this new stadium in Inglewood going to help with that hardcore fan base and really build this fan base to where you can go down to L.A. and you'll be like, okay, this is Rams country?
I do think so, because the Coliseum, and this is coming from someone who went to USC and teaches at USC, it's not a fun place to go watch a game. So I've talked to many fans who were at, you know, those first two games, and they were basically sold out. There's like 90,000 people there, but it was such a train wreck. So people have basically said, I'm not going to go back until they build that new stadium. I will say this. If they win again today, if they win a Super Bowl, I think they become the fourth team in line here in terms of it is a Lakers town, number one. It is a Dodgers town, a close second. Then USC football. But I think if the Rams win, they have a real chance just because of kind of how big this run has been of being the number 14.
You know, Arash, yesterday the Warriors and the Lakers squared up. LeBron missed the game. And then afterwards, there was some locker room drama with Luke Walton. Have you heard anything from Ramona Shelbourne? Or is there anything that you have, any insights that you could kind of provide as far as why LeBron missed the game and what the heck happened in the locker room afterwards?
It was funny because I was texting with a friend on the team, and he said it's not that big of a deal. But I did basically tell him, you know, the biggest story in Los Angeles is not the Rams at the Super Bowl. It's the Lakers, you know, and I put a poll online. You know, I said, if one thing can happen this weekend, what do you want to have happen? Like, was the Lakers traded for Anthony Davis or the Rams win the Super Bowl? And Anthony Davis was the clear winner. So I was just basically, I texted to see how big was that situation. He said, not that big. And then I said, what's everyone talking about back home? He said, you know, they're all talking about the Lakers still. So that's what it is. It is such a Lakers town, and it's not even close. I think they love that team, but that has a lot to do with going, over a 20, 30-year period. You know, right. They won 10 championships.
Araz Markazi from the L.A. Times right here on 95.7 The Game with Joe Shasky and Bonte Hill. Araz, kind of explain to our audience here, how has L.A. embraced the LeBron James dynamic? Obviously, he doesn't play yesterday due to load management. I still don't know what load management is. But how has that fan base embraced LeBron James and everything he brings to the table?
I think at the beginning, there was some hesitation to embrace him, and really that came from more like the Kobe contingent. But I think the fan base realizes that, you know, for them to have any championship aspirations, he's going to have to be a big part of it. And they really do believe that Anthony Davis would be that second big piece. And then maybe in the offseason, signing one more guy and creating their own big three. But they realized when he was gone and he was sidelined, you know, how much they need him to, listen, at least make the playoffs. And then certainly if they can bring in one more piece, how important he is for them if they want to win another championship here.
And what about Luke Walton? I mean, if they were to move off of Luke Walton, who is the replacement? Who's Magic and Rob Pelinka going to bring in? Is it Mark Jackson, Tyronn Lue, someone off the board? How does that shake down if they move off of Luke Walton?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard a lot of names, but I have not heard one name that would come in that's like this amazing championship coach. You know, this is not like before where, you know, the Lakers brought back Phil Jackson or something. You know, no disrespect to Ty Lue or Jason Kidd or Mark Jackson or some of these other names I've heard, but I don't think any of these coaches are that much better than Luke Walton. The key, though, is if LeBron doesn't want him or doesn't think he's the right coach, that could be a problem. That could be a problem for Luke. And so I'm not saying that he's going to get fired during the season, But if the summer comes around and he's not the coach that LeBron wants,
right,
they could move in a different direction.
Araj, does LeBron and the L.A. Lakers feel like a trade for Anthony Davis is enough to compete with the Warriors this season?
No, I think if they got Anthony Davis, they could potentially get to the conference finals. I don't think that team, and by the way, we would have to see what kind of a team that they would even have around him, just because they would have to trade so many guys to get him. So, like, you know, maybe some of these high-out guys where it's DeAndre Jordan or someone like that. But they would think that in the summer, when they have one max slot available, that big three with LeBron and Anthony Davis and one more big piece, that's the team that they think could compete and perhaps take down the Warriors. That would not be this season, though.
All right, Arash, let's get to the serious topics here. What is the must-have Super Bowl food dish at one of your parties?
So, you know, I like the guacamole. I know that's cliche because apparently this is like the number one day for guacamole. But if you do it right, and you have to have it pretty quickly, you know, as you know, guacamole you can't have just sitting out there because it gets bad. But if you make that fresh guacamole and you make it a little hot, spicy, that's the key dish, I think.
And Super Bowl prediction, I saw you are taking the L.A. Rams to topple the New England Patriots.
Yeah, it's going to be a great game. If you look at all these Tom Brady Super Bowls have been great. They've all come down to the last drive of the game. So I think it's going to happen, and I think the Rams win by a last-second field goal from Greg Sirlein.
All right, Araj, it looks like you had a great week, man. Super Bowl parties, NFL game experience, work on the right arm. The dance moves are on point, but it looks like you've had a ball in Atlanta. Enjoy Super Bowl number 53 later on today. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Araj Markazi doing great things with the L.A. Times. You with the guacamole?
I'm more of the 5 and 7-layer dips.
All right. Yeah, you did.
I mean, I like the guacamole. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm all in. I actually
wings?
Prefer.
Are you a big wings guy on Super
See,
Bowl
this
Sunday?
Is the problem with wings. A lot of women don't want to dive head first into the wings because it gets everywhere. And it's not when you're in a party setting and you're just mashing down wings, you get it all over your lips, your fingers, everything. It's just, it's not a good look. You look like a caveman.
All right, we're going to continue.
I love them, though.
Yeah, I love me some wings. I don't know what I'm going to eat for Super Bowl Sunday. I have no idea. Plan on just being at the crib, watching it on a 65-inch screen TV.
I can sense my Spidey senses have pizza in your future.
I had pizza yesterday. I eat too much pizza. You see this gut right here? Come on, man. I need to lay off the pizza. We're going to continue this conversation we're having about Tom Brady and Joe Montana because we are in Niner country. And people are questioning our credibility when it comes to Joe Montana.
Come at
like
me,
we don't
bro.
Know what Joe Montana is all about. So we're going to continue this conversation. Stay on hold. 888-957-9570. More of your phone calls coming up. Butcher Boy and Bonte right here on 95.7 The Game.
Toss to White. He's in. Patriots win the Super Bowl.
All kinds of time for Brady to go for it. To the end zone, and it's caught for the touchdown. Philip Dorsett.
His eyes told you. He saw it. It was there.
Tom Brady running the show.
He's the greatest quarterback of all time.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
And that is a conversation we're having right now. Who is the GOAT? Who would you rather have? If you had one game to play, a Super Bowl to play, would you rather have Joe Montana, who was 4-0? Or would you rather have number 12 in New England, Tom Brady, who currently is 5-3? We're going to talk about that. 888-957-9570. A lot of people want to chime in on this conversation. Butcher Boy, before I bring you in, I want to read this text on the Chilton Auto Body text line from this guy from the 415. Here's his text messages. I've been a big Bay Area sports fan since I was 9 years old. I'm 49 now. All SF first in, everybody else second. I followed the Niners since 1975. That being said, and I hate saying it, but Brady is the GOAT. Montana used to be, but he got passed up by Brady. I know Niner fans don't want to hear it, but it's true. Sorry, I know it hurts, but if Brady was with the Niners and accomplished everything he has, then I guarantee you they would be the same.
My dad and my grandfather have had season tickets. My grandpa going back to Kezar, okay, with the 49ers.
I met Grandpa Shasky.
You met my grandpa.
He is a G.
Does he OG?
He is a G.
Triple OG 49er fan. Never missed a snap. Never missed a game. Went to all the Super Bowls, okay, him and John Quinless together. My dad has had tickets since 1978, 79, something like that. Was in the end zone for many years. Those two, who watched every single snap live in the stadium, both say, you can't argue it anymore. Brady's the GOAT. He's unbelievable. And this argument that he hasn't gone through anybody. He beat a Hall of Fame quarterback and the quote-unquote greatest show on turf with a Hall of Fame running back and two Hall of Fame receivers. Well, I don't know if Torrey Holt will get there, but he was damn good.
Yep.
Isaac Bruce eventually will get there. And Dick Vermeil, who's one of the all-time winningest coaches in NFL history. Then he knocks off Philly and prevents Andy Reid, who's going to go to the Hall of Fame at some point, from getting his Super Bowl after going to four straight NFC championship games. Beats DeLome in Carolina. That one's kind of diluted. I get that. Also, then he goes on.
No, I'm not going to dilute the Carolina Panthers.
But I can see why. They were, but I can see where people would hate on that. But like this thing that like, oh, Montana went up against, what, Kenna Anderson? And the Cincinnati Bengals in 1981? I mean, come on. I get the Dan Marino one. I'll give you that
John
one.
John Elway.
He beat Boomer Esiason and Sam Weiss, the guy who learned under Bill Walsh's tutelage. I get you. And he beat a young John Elway. Totally awesome. All those are great. Do we not forget Tom Brady throwing from behind 14 points down to the greatest defense we've ever seen, better than the 85 defense of the Bears, the Seattle Legion of Boom, which is one of the most difficult defenses to statistically one of the best ever, but one of the most difficult defenses to actually sustain drives against.
Gets the Legion of Boom,
he threw for like 200 yards in the fourth quarter alone.
He was money in that game. Money in the second half to lead them to that victory. And that was a phenomenal football game. I need to go back and watch that. And to your point with Tom Brady going through these guys. Let's just go back to the Tuck Rule game. Because a lot of people on the text line are talking about
the
Tuck Rule,
it's all started. Years.
Well, yes, that was a fumble. There's no doubt about it. But what happened after that? Tom Brady got into the shotgun, into the no huddle, in the shotgun, and played like a seasoned veteran. The Raiders still had a chance to win that game after the Tuck Rule. I get the morale.
And overtime.
When you come up with that play, you come up with a play that you think that essentially ends the game, and it doesn't. You still got to strap it back on to play defense.
Exactly.
And Tom Brady, after that, was in fuego. We all forget that. Beating the Raiders in the snow. I know he got knocked out, but to beat that St. Louis Rams team with Aeneas Williams at corner, Leonard Little, that Rams team was legit. And Tom Brady made money throws. You cannot take away what he's done in the snow, in the domes, on the road. It does not matter. All you need to do is, and I know Kansas City's defense wasn't that great.
It don't matter.
But 10 of 16 on third down.
Come on.
Third and 10, three straight third and 10s in overtime.
Why do we keep moving the goalposts? Why do we keep moving the measuring sticks?
That's what people do. We see it in the NBA all the time.
It really bugs me.
They move it for LeBron James every day.
Well, for Jerry Rice, the main argument is, look at the longevity over all these years. Yet I never hear anyone say, he did lose that Super Bowl against the Raiders. I mean, with the Raiders against the Bucks. I mean, that's going to tarnish his career. Like, get out of here with that. Get out of here with that. You got to respect the journey. Do we take anything away from Fran Tarkenton losing all those Super Bowls? Do we take anything away from Jim Kelly losing all those Super Bowls? If anything, I think it adds to Jim Kelly's legacy. Yeah, it would have been awesome had he won one of them, but it's damn difficult and remarkable to have gotten back there four straight years.
And you look at the weapons Joe Montana had, Russ Francis, Dwight Clark, later on Jerry Rice, Brenton Jones, John Taylor, one of the most underrated receivers in all of pro football. And you look at Tom Brady. He's had that one Hall of Fame wide receiver in Randy Moss. Other than that, a lot of guys who overachieved.
Yeah.
A lot of guys who overachieved.
Gronk will be in the Hall of Fame. Might go down as the greatest tight end of all time. Although I think an argument could still be made for Tony G.
Yeah, Tony G, Antonio Gates. Yeah. But Gronk has been really good.
Yeah.
But Tom Brady has done it with such a different cast of characters. You don't know who he's throwing to on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah.
He had Kimbrel Tompkins one year, and he still made the Super Bowl.
So
the whole conversation that Joe Montana did it against tougher competition, in the salary cap era, is just a tough because
of
the turnover.
Absolutely. And then the other argument is that you hear from everyone, the way they hit the quarterback back then, you couldn't play in the league long enough. Totally agree. Almost impossible to quantify the differences as far as late hits. I mean, the way Veterans Stadium used to pound Joe every time when they played Reggie White, Jerome Brown, that group. There's no way. But let's just compare Brady within this era, right, where the quarterbacks have all been protected equally. Peyton Manning has sustained significantly more injuries than Tom Brady. Drew Brees, it hasn't been as good as Tom Brady, and yet they both do the same thing where they don't get hit. If you touch them around the neck, automatic flag. Again, if you want to use this argument that the way the quarterbacks were hit back in Joe's day, I agree with you there. But then let's compare Tom Brady to his peers. He's still taller than all of them. He's still better than all of them.
Let's go out to Raider J on the phone lines. A lot of people fired up about this conversation right now. 888-957-9570. Raider J in Milpitas. What's going on, brother Jan? With Butcher Boy and Bonte
here. Happy Super Bowl Sunday, fellas.
Happy Super Sunday. Thank you.
I could pontificate for a while about this. I can argue both sides for Brady and Montana. Brady, the Tuckwell, I'm still bitter. You know, that's his first Super Bowl that he went to and won. He only had 12 games under his belt, and he won that Super Bowl. He straight up won that Super Bowl. But Montana, he blew you out, and it was a different era. Leonard Marshall smashing him. I was born in 72, so I've seen all the Super Bowls. I lived in the great era in the Bay Area when it was the Mecca, Raiders and Niners, every other year going to Super Bowls. Great times. But Brady, the Brady rule, once he got hurt, these guys are wimps, these quarterbacks. Now, you get touched and there's a flag.
Carson Palmer, too.
Just like you guys said. And Brady, he should have. The Tuck rule, the game's over. When what's in the fumble, there's no overtime. There's no nothing. Then Terry kicked that great field goal. That's a Super Bowl that should be taken away. But we got robbed, whatever. You can take away the one Vinatieri. You know, if it wasn't Vinatieri, who knows how many Super Bowls Tom Brady, if that dude wasn't clutch. Brady, to me, will be 5-4. I think the Rams are winning today with defense. Last I heard, defense wins championships. Tampa Bay, number one defense against Raiders, number one. But Gannon, we got a butts whoop. So 34-31, Rams today. Tom Brady will be 5-4. This comes from Raider fan.
Great call, Raider J. If Eric Wright doesn't tackle Drew Pearson in the 1981 championship game in January of 82, then the 49ers don't get a fumble on the very next play. Like, we could always
play this what if Roger Craig doesn't fumble in the NFC championship. If Kyle Williams, Alex Smith has a Super Bowl, we could play that game all day.
You don't get lucky for 20 years.
No.
I mean, 1 year of luck, I get it. You know, Brooks Conrad misses a ball. The Giants win a World Series.
Thank you, Brooks.
I get that, okay? Bill Buckner misses a ball for the Mets. 20 years of the ball bouncing your way? Come on.
Let's go out to Antonio. People are fired up about this, Butcher Boy. Antonio in Oakland. He's a Niner fan who thinks Brady is the G-O-A-T. What's up, Antonio? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, you guys. You know, I'm a top 10 49er fan in the country. You know what I'm saying? I got all the home games.
Hold on, Antonio.
I love that. How are you a top 10? Who are the other nine?
Right.
Am I in there?
Oh, yeah, of course. but at least I didn't say I'm the best Niner fan.
I love you, Antonio.
I love how you classified yourself as a top 10 Niner fan.
Room, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, you know, like, I think Tom Brady's the best of all time. And I'm wearing my Joe Montana jersey today. And I still think Tom Brady's the GOAT, you know? And I just hate when they say, oh, Adam Vinatieri saved Tom Brady in the Super Bowls. Well, you know what? In Joe Montana's first Super Bowl, he only had like 100-something passing yards. Ray Wirtz kicked four field goals.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
So it's like, come on now, man. I'm just being an objective fan, you know, because I don't like all this Homer stuff, you know. Like I said, I'm a big-time 49er. I got a tattoo, everything. I got everything, man. I'm a
Antonio,
heart.
How do the 49ers get back into the playoffs this offseason? Let me ask you that. Today's Super Bowl Sunday. Bonte and I have been talking about it all week. What can the Niners do to get back to the playoffs? I want to be in this game next year.
You know, we have to make smart. We have to add two pass rushers and a number one wide receiver. I like what I saw from Dante Pettis, you know, like when he got healthy, and George Kittle's, you know, top three tight end and all that. We got good running backs. We need to get an interior offensive lineman and edge rushers. Those are the keys right there.
Love it.
Number one receiver.
Great stuff, Antonio.
Thank you, Antonio.
Great phone call, man.
Top 10 49er fan.
Woo! I wonder if I'm in that top 10. Probably not.
You're like in the 11 category.
Wow.
I'm going to put you in the 11 through 20 category.
Wow.
No, I'm just messing with you.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM and HD1, KGNZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. We need to print out T-shirts and
top
just have a top 10 fan club. I'm a top 10 49er fan. Antonio's great.
I'm going to get a Kaepernick jersey, put number 7 on the back, put rated Niner fan, you know what I mean, on the back on the nameplate.
Number 7 Niner fan.
I'm number 7 overall.
Oh, man. Let's go out to, let's see here. I'm going to go out to Mike the Beer Guy in Redwood City. Mike the Beer Guy, he thinks we should just chill and appreciate the greatness overall. Mike the Beer Guy, what's happening, man? You're on 95.7 The Game.
R-E-L-A-X. I remember back when the Niners were 2-14 in 78 and 79, and to be able to have that as part of our local, the history of sports in the Bay Area, to have the Giants of 10, 12, and 14, to have the Warriors on their run, everybody just needs to chill out and appreciate what we have in our backyard.
Thank you. Thanks for the phone call, Mike the Beer Guy.
Yeah. And I hear him. And one of the things that no one ever talks about, you know why the 49ers got Joe Montana? It's because they traded away multiple first-round picks to acquire O.J. Simpson.
Yep.
And they would have been in on that quarterback from Clemson, Fuller. And instead, they ended up finding Dwight Clark and taking Joe Montana later on in the draft. And
third round, right?
Yeah,
third-round pick.
Yeah.
Now, isn't it crazy how we're talking about the GOATs, the greatest of all time,
overlooked
at the quarterback position? Tom Brady, sixth-round pick. Joe Montana, third-round pick.
It's unreal. And both of them had to fight to get that starting job in college, going up against other competition, and had to prove themselves coming from behind, off the bench, in multiple bowl games, both of them.
Yep.
And that's how they kind of earned their chops. Drew Henson, clearly,
the very popular guy
against
Michigan. Tom Brady sat behind Brian Greasy.
Yeah.
And Brian Greasy led Michigan, of course, to the national championship.
The son of a great
Hall of Famer. Led by Charles Woodson.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But Tom Brady had to battle. And I remember that Orange Bowl against Alabama when he was on fire. Alabama missed the extra point.
Yep.
Michigan wins 35-34. But I'm like, this Tom Brady guy has something. Then he falls in the sixth round. You forget about him.
How about the Hall of Fame game against the Niners?
Gio Carmazzi
is terrible.
Oh, man.
I just remember they kept rolling him out right, and he was just throwing the ball away. I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
That's when Mooch hit. This might be a little too big for young Gio Carmazzi. Hostra.
You think?
Let's go out to John and Martinez. He wants to talk about quarterback hits. John, what's going on, man? You're on with Butcher Boy Abonte here at 95.7 The Game.
Hey, guys. You stole my thunder when you talk about how easy it was to hit the quarterback back in the older times. But just to highlight how the changes go, wouldn't the tuck rule play by 2018 standards be a 15-yard penalty on the Raiders?
Probably. Yeah. Around the neck. Good call.
Brady is just sort of a mutual benefactor of the way of both his longevity and the fact that the rule changes now are completely favoring offenses, aren't they?
No doubt, but so is Jerry Rice. Like, if you look at wide receivers from the 70s and from earlier, they would tell you that you're allowed so much more freedom of movement by the time the 80s come around and the way they kind of change the rules to open up the passing game. Jerry Rice doesn't put up those gaudy numbers, even if he's with Bill and Joe, and it's the 70s, just because of the way the rules were. So we can really only kind of compare and contrast him to his peers, which is what we do, and Chris Carter and some of the other greats from that era. And Jerry stands so much taller than all of them. I do the same thing with Tom Brady. Again, compare him to Peyton Manning. Just compare the numbers. Compare the longevity. Compare the excellence to Drew Brees, to Big Ben. And still, Brady stands taller than all of them.
Let's continue with the phone lines. The phone lines are lit up right now. A lot of people want to chime in on this conversation. Who is the GOAT? And it's tough to say who really is better when it comes to ability. Obviously, there's guys with more arm strength. I'll continue to repeat that. Dan Marino. I mean, the best throwing motion I've ever seen in my life. Deep balls, comeback routes. There wasn't a lot of wide receiver screens back in those days. But Dan Marino never had a running game.
But they had
no mobility.
Mark Duper, Mark Clayton, they were pretty dope.
Early on.
Yeah.
And then it moved on to an old Irving Fryer.
Yeah.
O.J. McDuffie. Orlando Gadsden.
You going to go Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the running back on me?
Dude. He had no running game in Miami. And Dan Marino would light it up. If you had a guy like Dan Marino in today's game, oh my Lord.
Well, that's
what I thought.
Drew Brees, Drew Bledsoe was going to be. I thought he was going to be the next evolutionary piece in Dan Marino because he could sling it too before. And we know.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.